I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, every once in a while, we do something called Artist Corner. I just love music so much. So we'll cover artists and we'll hear the stories behind the songs. And I first heard about Lincoln Brewster a lot of years ago when my son, who has played on worship teams for many years, he's an acoustic and electric guitar player, told me about Lincoln. And as soon as I started to play his music, I'm telling you, especially when he'd go into these guitar licks, they were the most worshipful thing I ever heard. I mean, I'm telling you, there were times I was working around my house and he'd go into one of these riffs and I would just go to my knees. I just feel like I was absolutely in the presence of God. I just love this guy. And we've had him on a couple times. And if I remember right, I think I even had my son Luke on once when Lincoln joined us so he could ask him questions. But I just celebrate the gift of God in Lincoln Brewster. And he's got a new album out titled Perfect Love. We got a few copies of that album to give away today. And this is our drawing. This is the way we do it. I want you to text the word book. It's an album, but this is just sort of the giveaway process. You text the word book and it'll kick back a link so you can register to win. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. But just remember, it's an album, all right? We'll get Lincoln on in just a second here. Quick announcement. Every week this month, during the month of June, we're giving away a copy of Dr. Tony Evans' Study Bible. Those Bibles are just substantial, aren't they? We're excited about that. You get to win a copy. You have a chance at winning a copy, one every week. So you can enter to win at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Honing his expert musicianship from a young age, Lincoln Brewster sought refuge in his guitar while growing up in Alaska, in a home plagued by substance abuse and domestic violence. Following his parents' divorce when he was a teenager, he relocated in California, where he found success as an in-demand session player. A demo from the 19-year-old guitar prodigy captured the attention of Randy Jackson, remember him from American Idol, who introduced Lincoln to the rock legend Steve Perry. So the former Journey frontman gave Lincoln the opportunity of a lifetime to play guitar for him on tour. Well, eventually, with a calling toward full-time ministry, Lincoln walked away from mainstream music, and he's gone on to write and record some of the biggest modern worship anthems embraced by the global church today. Currently, he serves as a senior pastor at Bayside Church outside Sacramento, California, and we're so grateful to have him with us today. Lincoln, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. And we start every day talking scripture, and I wonder what the Lord's been talking to you about these days.
Book of James. I think I've got worn out pages, even though I'm on a digital Bible these days. But in the book of James, I've actually been on this thing where I kind of read the whole thing. It's a short read. It's four chapters, but I'm going to highlight something out of the first chapter that's really been rocking my world. But yeah, just encouragement for those of you who, if you get lost and don't have a current devo, I'd go take 1 month, read the whole book of James every day. New things have popped out to me as I've done that. One of the things that shows up here in verse 2 is, and I haven't mastered this, by the way, I just want to say that, but it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, which I don't know about you, but a couple of those last year, I think we all have, it says, consider it an opportunity for great joy, which seems so counter to the world. You know, it's when things come at us, I think so often we just react instead of respond. And it's, I know I do. And it's, you know, you get stressed and start going gloom and doom. And here we're being encouraged to go, this is an opportunity for something good. And it says this, says verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And what a great thing. Verse 4, so let it grow. And this is kind of the why. Like, why is that important? So let it grow, verse 4. So when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Like, that's God's end game with us, is he wants us to be more complete, and he loves us enough to actually use not just good times, but really use difficult times and troubles to shape us. And so I've been meditating on that, and just really, that's been serious life's blood through this last season, definitely.
I love that. I love the challenge to read the book of James every day for a month. I wonder what would happen. You know, that's just beautiful. I just know more people, myself included, whose endurance is being stretched now more than it's ever been. And it's such a reminder, you know, we can't mature without endurance. We can't mature without perseverance. And it's forming something in our character as much as we maybe wrestle against it, you know?
That's exactly right. And actually, the normal translation that I read of this is this is New Living, but it actually uses the word perseverance, and it actually says, let perseverance finish its work in you. That really spoke to me too, because I jokingly say I have the spiritual gift of MacGyver. I try to, if there's a way around, do something more efficiently, or if there's like, well, or I could just do this, I'll do it. And sometimes that leads me down a path of, I think, short running or short circuiting or circumventing the process of what God's going. No. The benefit here is the long walk. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a shortcut, but you don't get the benefit of the long walk. And so I've had to many times remember, let perseverance finish its work so that I will be complete. And actually, one of them says mature and complete and lacking nothing.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm. So it's just a comfort to go, this is okay. It's, mm-hmm. you know, every challenge is not to be fixed. Some of them are to be endured until we get through them.
I just tweeted this last night. To those contending for a promise that seems long overdue, remember, the devil doesn't have endurance. You just have to outlast him, and you will.
That's right.
And then, listen to this. I changed half course. I said, this faith journey isn't for sissies. And then I said, well, actually it is. But he makes warriors out of us eventually. He does take a bunch of sissies, but he turns us into mighty warriors. Well, I don't even remember, Lincoln, if you and I have talked about your backstory when I read it in your bio. It was a couple years since you've been on. But give us a little glimpse of your growing up years and how formative that was for you.
Yeah, my family was very dysfunctional and broken home. And so I was born in Fairbanks, Alaska, raised in Homer, Alaska. My mom had three kids by the age of 19. And my dad, when he was, I think he was, let's see, he's 21, converted to Mormonism. My mom divorced him and, moved from Fairbanks to Homer, which in Alaska is a big move even today, but especially way back then. And, we lived in this little fishing town called Homer, in a cabin with no running water, no electricity. There was a lot of love. I knew that. And then my mom, eventually started dating this guy who became her boyfriend named John Hillstrand. If you've seen the show, The Deadliest Catch, there's a boat on there called the Time Bandit. That actually became our family's boat. So my mom and John eventually got married, and the Hillstrands who run that are the sons. And so those are my ex-stepbrothers. So it was a wild upbringing. I was the youngest of eight kids at that point. And, there were great parts about growing up in Alaska. It's a beautiful place. Unfortunately, much of that got overshadowed just by the dysfunction of the home. It was, drugs and alcohol and physical abuse and sexual abuse and all that madness. And so, yeah, so, you know, but we survived and eventually moved down to California, and where I've lived ever since, with an exception of a 3-year period where I was in Nashville, and have seen God's faithfulness just shine through time and time again, it seems. And so it's amazing. I'm always reminded of Genesis 15:20, where it says, "What the enemy intends for evil, God will use it for good." And he's used so much of that stuff in my life to, for obviously for good, even if it's just like this, being able to tell my story to encourage somebody else to say I'm living, breathing proof that God could take somebody with a really jacked up past and still use their life for his kingdom. And I'm not unique or special in that. That's how he works.
That is who he is, and that's what he does. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to play some music from Lincoln Brewster's new album, Perfect Love. Madison just texted, and I literally just thought about Lincoln Brewster last week, wondering if he was making any new music. Glad he's on your show. Thank you, Lincoln, for your song, Made New. It's so encouraging. And Tom texted in, and amen. We love those as well. Talking to Lincoln Brewster, when we come back, we'll start to hear some of the stories behind the songs from his new album, Perfect Love. Back in a minute. By Lincoln Brewster, who's my guest today. It's an Artist's Corner. We just once in a while love to cover albums, songs, and stories behind the songs. Got a few copies of Lincoln's new album, Perfect Love. And you know the way that we do the drawing here, it seems odd when we're talking about an album, but you still got to do. You text the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a link, and then you just register to win that way and mention the Lincoln album there. All right, Lincoln, set us up for the song Move off of your album. What about this song?
So I always love to do stuff, at least some things on a record, that just sort of by the sheer sound of it kind of lifts you up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this song's an interesting thing. And before I get into this particular song, I do want to encourage people out there who are interested to read through the lyrics of this record. We really worked hard on these lyrics and to make sure you don't miss what these songs are saying. And some of them, and Move is one of them, where the music actually sounds, if you just listen to the music track, it actually sends a little bit different message than the lyrics do, which is kind of a fun thing to do sometimes, is you take a lyric that actually has a little different flavor to it than the music that it's put to. And Move is one of these lyrics that if you just listen to the chorus lyrics, they're really about counting on God for a miracle. You know, you could actually take that lyric and put it to more of a slow kind of anthemic, you know, a bit more of a desperation type track, and it would fit. But I wanted to do something that would kind of you'd be fired up to while you're singing it. And so I was kind of actually had a situation in my life that was pretty challenging while I was singing the vocals to the song. And when you're recording in the studio, sometimes you have to sing stuff over and over and over again. And I kept having to sing this chorus. And by the time I was done recording the song, I actually felt much more encouraged. Because I kept singing the line, miracles happen when you move. And it made me realize that the situation I was holding in my hand needed God's move, not mine. And And so this song is really, it's a bit a song of surrender and acknowledgement of that when God moves, that's when the miracle happens and it makes the difference.
All right, let's listen. Here it is.
I knew the second I met you, I could never forget you and what you did for me. You pulled me out of my haze and took me into a place so good it's hard to believe. And it just gets better, nothing else matters. You're so much more than enough. Now my heart's wide open, fear's been broken. It's all because of your love. You make me wanna move like no one's watching. I know you'll get me through, gonna keep on walking. You always make a way when the storm is raging. No matter what I'm facing, I count on you. Miracles happen when you move. Yeah, yeah. I got a beat in my chest, I got a spring in my step.
Somebody's got to give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. That is going on my workout playlist. I love that song. Do you love it? Oh, I mean, I know you did it, but don't you love listening?
It sounds so corny. I do.
It's oh, my
like
word.
Somebody told me years ago that, you know, they were like, if you don't like what you do, why would you expect anybody else to?
Right.
And it's not a thing for me where think I'm all that. It's not at all, actually. And the guys who produced the record did such a good job. But it's just, it's fun. Like I, again, singing that chorus, I'm going to keep on, I know you'll get me through. I'm going to keep on walking. You always make a way when the storm is raging. I count on you. Miracles happen when you move. It's just, it takes the drama and the problems out of our hands. And, it was a good reminder hearing it again today. It was cool.
Come on. Got some amens coming in, too. That's fantastic. So we've got about 4 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, so I want to make sure we squeeze this one in. Say a word, if you would, about We All Need Jesus.
Yeah, so this is a super, super fun track. And here's what's really crazy, Susie, is this album was done, completed about 2 months before the pandemic even started, before that word had even been put out there. And it's really strange because it actually seems like it was written during it, lyrically. And I think that speaks to a couple of things. One, it speaks to just, and I hope this is an encouragement for people, but, you know, Scripture says in this life there will be troubles. And the fact that we're facing challenges is nothing new. It's how we respond to the challenges that's key. And I think we all need Jesus. When people hear these lyrics, they're going to go, no, you wrote this like after the pandemic started. It's like, no, this stuff existed prior. But it's about really looking at each other in through God's lens. And we all tend to view life through this lens, which is we view others through through their actions, and we view ourselves through our intention. And it doesn't really work that way. And so if we can start looking at others and going, what does that person need more than anything?
Right.
Somebody who might be doing something that upsets you or whatever. And we kind of boiled it down to fundamentally, we all need Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you hold in life, rich or poor, it just does not matter. We all need Jesus. And to kind of like, let's maybe extend some love and grace and mercy to each other.
Yeah, and let's get to it because I don't want to miss it. We're coming up on a hard break, and I want to make sure we hear about a minute and a half of this song. But let's listen in. We all need Jesus.
These days we're so divided, wound up prone to fighting. Who's right, who's wrong, who gets the blame? The cure for all the chaos, it's in the hands that made us. Deep down, we're broken all the same. We all need love. We all need forgiveness. We need the kindness of a friend by our side no matter what. We all need grace. We all need redemption. We need the mercy of a Savior who would take a sinner's cross. We all need Jesus. Same in color, we're all sisters and brothers. God's love is in our DNA. Yeah, one thread holds us together. One life to make it better. Deep down, we're broken all the same. Oh, we all need love. We all need forgiveness. We need the kindness of.
That's Lincoln Brewster. We'll be back with more from him and more songs from his album, Perfect Love. Back in a minute.
We need the mercy of the Savior who would take us in his cross. We all need Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, we all need Jesus, Jesus.
Madison, I know you love that Lincoln song, Made New. Susie Larson here talking to Lincoln Brewster. Every once in a while, we do something we call Artist Corner, where we highlight a Christian artist and we hear the stories behind the songs. We're celebrating with Lincoln today the release of his album, Perfect Love. In fact, I've got a few copies to give away. If you still play CDs, we got one for you. You can text the word book. It's not a book, but this is how we do it, right? Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Lincoln, set up the song Let Me Love You.
Oh, yes. So this is the first song I've ever been a part of writing. I wrote it with a good friend who actually produced the record, Seth Mosley. And this is the first song that I've ever been a part of writing that actually comes from the vantage point of God speaking to me and you. One of the things we discovered, you know, as we talked just in conversation, spending time together, is how interesting it is that as Christians or as people, when we're not doing well, how our nature is to hide, as if God doesn't know. And this, you know, we saw this happen with Adam and Eve, and all that goes way back to we want to cover things. And I've heard people say, oh, as soon as I get my life right, then I'll start going to church. And I think that God is grieved, and it breaks his heart, because he's going, just let me love you. That's all you got to do, is just let me in. And so that's what the song is all about, is just speaking to that person who feels a million miles away from God, and to hopefully get them to see a little bit of see themselves the way God sees them rather than the way they see them.
All right. This is a Lincoln Brewster song, Let Me Love You, off of his new album, Perfect Love. Listen in.
Trying to prove you're worthy. You're probably thinking that I've looked away, but I've been working for you night and day. So don't you ever stop to think that you've been left deserted. It's never too late, you're never too far gone. Might have lost faith, but you could never outrun grace. So free, I'll show you the way home. I can still reach further than feelings. I'll hold your hand, I'll hold your heart, I'll hold you while you're healing. It's okay to let your tears run out. Don't be afraid to let your walls come down. I'll be your one, I'll be your world, I'll be the air you're breathing. It's never too late, you're never too far gone. Might have lost faith, but you can never outrun. So free, I'll show you the way home. I can still reach further than your feet go. Let me love you. Yeah. Let me love you. You can't
Lincoln, you're right. We really do need to pull up those lyrics online and just sit with the, talk about Devo reading. That would be some amazing devotional reading. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
powerful. Wow. Great
Thank
song.
You.
Can, yeah. And I got to say, you. Hearing your guitar riff, I don't know what it is, but the, honestly, there's something so beautiful and worshipful about when you go into those places. How, when did you first discover that you actually had kind of an instinct when it comes to playing electric like that?
When I was really young, I think growing up up there in Alaska, I didn't, obviously this was pre-internet, and I had to figure it out, and my mom was very musical and really exposed me to some neat musical influences, and then my stepbrother. So it was kind of a combination. My mom was Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, Kenny Loggins, Joni Mitchell. So I kind of had the songwriter, in this musicality, the music I would listen to on that side of the fence. And then, my stepbrothers would come to Homer from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho every summer until they ended up moving there. And I got introduced to Kiss and all the rock bands.
Right.
So it kind of, but I had a real love for, I think, the power of rock and roll. Like it just, it communicates something really cool. It's very powerful. But I loved the musicality of like Steely Dan, and I still listen to those old Steely Dan records. And so I think, through kind of traversing those two worlds, it made sense to me to, play music, always try to do it. Like my mom was always like, communicate heart when you play. Her big lesson to me, I remember, was know when not to play.
Interesting.
Or don't sound like you're trying to get paid by the note. It's really, just try to communicate heart. Yeah.
I'm sorry. How and when did you come to faith in Jesus?
When I was 19, and it was very strange. I was at a friend's apartment in L.A., and we sat up one night and had a conversation about the Bible. And you know what's weird, Susie, is he wasn't – I don't know if he was actually a Christian or not. He was a kind of a messed up guy, and like actually really messed up in a lot of ways. But it's just God can use whatever God wants to use. And so mm-hmm. It was me and him talking at his apartment, Valentine's Day, 1992. And I couldn't go to sleep, and I kept thinking about our conversation, and I stayed up, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, probably, I just sat on the couch in his living room and laid all my cards on the table before God, which I was afraid to do, and just said, here's who I am. This is what I have. And, when we hear things like the sinner's prayer, which for anybody who's listening and doesn't have a relationship with Christ, there's not a set, it's not a set thing. And I knew I needed a change. I knew I needed something different. And I just said, well, Jesus, I believe you're out there. I believe you can hear me. And the thing that you do when you come into someone's life and you change them and you become the reason they live. And can you do that for me?
I came to Christ in pretty much this, almost the same way. I was at a sleepover. Yeah. And a bunch of the girls wanted to sneak out to meet boys. And I was terrified at the thought of it. So I stayed back with the two girls who smoked because I just thought that would be a better choice. they didn't want to talk with me. So they're sitting in their sleeping bags, and they had attended the local Catholic school, and they were mocking what the nun had taught them about the book of Revelation. And they're going, oh, as if. And they were talking about the end times. And I'm sitting all by myself across the room, and I'd never heard anything like that. And I'm leaning in, and it just troubled me. And, you know, as a young girl, I knew God was real, but I just didn't know anything beyond that. And I went out on a picnic table, and I literally said, God, I know you're real, but if there's more to you than what I know, would you make yourself real to me? And this is why I said, Lincoln, I said, I'm going to start reading the Bible. I think it's kind of boring, but if you can snazz it up, we got a deal. I cannot even believe, I was in eighth grade.
That's so great.
Yeah. And I'm picturing God rubbing his temples going in on a technicality. But I started to read the word, and I fell in love with Jesus, and I probably asked him to be my savior 1,000 times because I just didn't have the youth group context of someone explaining like the Romans Road. But the Spirit of God came into my life, and I started to feel a conviction of sin. I mean, it was a holy transaction. I just didn't pray the exact prayer that everybody said, but it changed my life. So
it's so great that God, he made it. He really did make it so accessible. It's so wide, you know, and it's for everyone, not some people. It's for everyone. And he made it like easy to get to him. And going back to that song, I think the key word there is let. It's just let. It's God's there. He wants in. You just got to let him. And I think most people just think it's do. And it's like, no, just sit back and let God in and let him do the changing and the transforming. And
not that we loved God, but that he loved us, not how high we can jump, but he stooped down to make us great. That's what scripture says.
Exactly,
so we're going to pause here. Talking to Lincoln Brewster, when we come back, Lincoln, I want you to set up the song, If Not for Christ. I think that might be one of my favorites on this new album of yours. I'm talking to Lincoln Brewster today, his new album, Perfect Love. If you've got questions for Lincoln, you can text those in. Otherwise, you want in on the drawing, you text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we will be back in a moment. Is one of my all-time favorite Lincoln Brewster songs. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We've got an artist corner today where we're highlighting Lincoln Brewster's music and celebrating the release of his new album, Perfect Love. We've been just getting some stories behind the songs, which is always so interesting. All right, Lincoln, talk to us about the song, If Not for Christ.
So when we were talking about the lyrics and I think the importance of reading through, this would be one at the top of the list for that. When I started writing this song, I actually didn't know I was writing a song because it was journal entries. I was just out by the local lake here. And I just started writing. And when Mitch Wong, who wrote the song with, and I we were just on a FaceTime call. He lives in, at the time he lived in Melbourne, Australia. So I was sitting in my car in my driveway. He's in Melbourne. And I read him, we were just talking about life, and I read him part of this journal entry. And he just said, oh my gosh, Link, we need to write that. And I was like, well, it's just kind of a journal entry. And so I finally agreed. And then when we started doing it, he was insistent we didn't change a single word of what I had written in my journal. And it's kind of a strange thing that those were just my very personal thoughts only meant for me. And then in the chorus, we wrote a chorus, that's sort of, this victorious hymn-esque kind of, follow-up to the thoughts that are in the verses, but it's a really introspective, verse lyric. That's just, how I process through asking questions and it being okay to go, I have struggles even though Christ is, I know Christ is with me, so why do sometimes I feel afraid, or why do I have issues even though God's with me? All the, you know, those things that as believers, if we're real honest, we would all acknowledge those exist for us. And it's like, and that's okay. It's, mm-hmm. we just got to remember that above everything else, that we acknowledge that the most important thing is that we are now not the same and will not be the same forever,
ever,
in the best way possible because of Christ.
Come on. Amen. Let's listen. Lincoln Brewster's new album, Perfect Love, this song, If Not for Christ.
Countless times I've wondered why you choose to love me in the midst of fear and doubt. You stand with me in this reason. I could decide why I'm not worthy, yet you've never even once reminded me. No longer dead, I am alive, the greatest gift. Yeah.
Wow, I'm just speechless. That is just such a gorgeous song. Wow. It just makes me love Jesus more. Thank you, Lincoln. Really, that's an offering to the Lord, really. Wow. We just got a little bit of time left, but I feel like I just had just a moment with God. Friend, I hope you feel that way too. And Rosella texted in and said, can you ask Lincoln how he keeps track of ideas and inspirations from the time he gets them until he puts them into a song? Love this show. Blessings and shalom. What do you say, Lincoln?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for it. It's very kind. I'm having a little moment myself.
Yeah. So sorry.
If you let your imagination go and ask that question, where would I be? Good grief. It's just God. God's good. So with ideas, I have an iPhone, just whatever, could be whatever phone you have. I just use the little voice recorder. A friend of mine said this very well years ago. He said, identify inspiration when it happens and have a way to capture it. So I could be at the mall. I could be on an airplane. I could be anywhere. And a little thought will come to mind, and I'll usually just put them in my voice memos, and then I take disciplined time to go back and go through them and kind of filter through, an idea and see if it turns into a song. And many of them do, and way more of them don't. So that's the hard work. Is after the inspiration happens, then it's perspiration. Yeah.
Indeed. I do the same. I write on the book side, and I do exactly the same thing. My phone is full of notes.
Yep.
So good. Yeah. Well, we just have about 45 seconds, and this probably isn't a short answer, but I got to throw it out there. What do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, and I'm a bit stumped. You know what? For the first thing that came to mind is I think it's how much love. Like I'm learning with time. It's a strange thing. I think the older you get, the more you realize you don't know. So it's
exactly.
It's learning. You're learning more information, but the ratio to what you know versus what you don't know actually gets greater as you know more.
And now I have to jump, Lincoln. We're ready to go. So sorry, but his love is everything.
Okay.
Bless you, brother. Thank you for the time. It was fantastic.
You're a legend, Susie. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.